Our scripture reading this morning is taken from the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 13. We read the first 17 verses of the chapter, and we are reading in connection with the fourth commandment, remember the Sabbath day. Reading the Word of God in Luke, chapter 13. There were present at that season some that told him of the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answering said unto them, Suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans because they suffered such things? I tell you, nay. But except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. For those 18 upon whom the tower in Siloam fell and slew them, think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. He spake also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon, and found none. Then said he unto the dressers of his vineyard, Behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and find none. Cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? And he answering said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I dig about it and dung it. And if it bear fruit, well, and if not, then after that thou shalt cut it down. And he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years, and was bowed together, and could in no wise lift up herself. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said unto her, Woman, thou art loosed from thy infirmity. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. And the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation, because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day, and said unto the people, There are 6 days in which men ought to work. In them therefore come and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day. The Lord then answered him and said, Thou hypocrite, does not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his ass from the stall and lead him away to watering? And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound, lo, these 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day? And when he had said these things, all his adversaries were ashamed, and all the people rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him. May God bless the reading of Scripture to our hearts. We are at Lord's Day 38 this morning in our catechism on the Fourth Commandment, page 22. In the back of the Psalter, question 103, let's read the Fourth Commandment first. That's on page 20. In the back of the Psalter, the Fourth Commandment, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Now we have question 103 of our catechism. What does God require in the fourth commandment. First, that the ministry of the gospel in the schools be maintained, and that I especially on the Sabbath, that is on the day of rest, diligently frequent the church of God, to hear His word, to use the sacraments, publicly to call upon the Lord, and contribute to the relief of the poor, as becomes a Christian. Secondly, that all the days of my life I cease from my evil works, and yield myself to the Lord to work by His Spirit within me, and thus begin in this life the eternal Sabbath. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, the attitude of our hearts toward the Sabbath day, toward Sunday, and how we keep Sunday is an accurate gauge on our spiritual health and life. A mechanic has an instrument to gauge the compression in the motor of your car. A hospital has a monitor to show the strength of your heart. A nurse has an inflatable cuff to check your blood pressure. A laboratory has a machine to test whether there's cancer in your blood. But what about our spiritual life? How do you tell its strength? How do you gauge its health? God has given an objective gauge. Is the Sabbath a delight to you and to me? Do you want, do you need to come to church? Can you do without it? Is once enough for you? Psalm 84, how dear to me, O Lord of hosts, the tabernacles of thy grace. Psalm 27, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Psalm 122, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go up unto the house of the Lord. The Sabbath day is the gauge of the vibrancy of our Christian life. The Sabbath day is that one day out of seven whereby our Father calls us to devote ourselves completely to the things of our soul, to the things of our Lord. We may wait today continually upon the Lord Jesus Christ without distractions of our normal daily life and stewardship. The Sabbath, keep the Sabbath day, is a command. It's one of the Ten Commandments. It is not an option. It is not fulfilled and done away. To desecrate this day, to set this day, Sunday, aside, to make this day as another day, is a sin as much as is a sin against the third commandment, swearing, or murder, or adultery, or stealing. Our Father in heaven has redeemed us in the blood of His Son. And He says to us, this is my will, 6 days labor in the calling that I give to you. Out of me, and on the seventh, or on the Sabbath, I want you to rest. I want you to keep this day holy, which means set aside to hallow it in your heart and to come apart and be with me. And therefore, on this day, we hear the voice of Jesus Christ, come, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Do you need rest? Not just of the body, but more importantly, of your heart and soul. Do you need a day where you can devote yourself simply to the concerns of your soul? Are you as a pilgrim looking for a spiritual oasis in this world? Are you as a wounded soldier in the army of Christ looking for a hospital tent? Are you as a mountaineer, climbing, pressing onward, upward? Are you in need of a base camp? Well, here it is. The Sabbath becomes the strength of our Christian life. The Sabbath refreshes us. The Sabbath reminds us who we are, where we are going, what life is all about. Take the Sabbath away, and we will not know who we are, where we're going. We will not know what life is about as a Christian without the Sabbath day. Jesus said, Matthew 24, verse 20, when he was talking about the end and about the persecution that would come upon the church and the fact that we would have to flee, he said, "Pray ye that your flight not be in the winter." He had tender concern for us. Imagine having to flee with your little ones out of the house today. "Neither on the Sabbath." Pray that your flight not be on the Sabbath. Why? Because we can't run on Sunday? Is that what Jesus means? No. He means because in those days of persecution, we will not be able to keep this day of spiritual rest. And imagine having to live under persecution without the opportunity of gathering together with God's people under the Word and in love to encourage one another. Imagine that. That day, said Jesus, is coming. Now the fourth commandment can come to us with thunder. It can come with lightning. It can come with flashes of fire and the trembling of the mountain, as it did on Mount Sinai when God first gave it. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And perhaps Protestantism and Reformed Protestantism could benefit from standing before that holy mountain again. But the voice of God this morning expressed in the Heidelberg Catechism is warm and attractive. It is positive and insightful that I, especially on the Sabbath, not only on the Sabbath, this Thursday too, will come to church for Thanksgiving Day, that I, especially on the Sabbath, that is on the day of rest, diligently frequent, come regularly, twice, to the house of God to hear His Word, to use the sacraments, publicly to call upon God, contribute to the relief of the poor. And secondly, that all the days of my life I cease from my evil works and yield myself up to the Lord to work in me by His Spirit and thus begin the eternal Sabbath. We come to the fourth commandment out of gratitude. How shall I show forth my thanks to Him who has redeemed me by His grace? The answer, Psalm 116, "I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord in the courts of the Lord's house, in the presence of all of His people, in Jerusalem, on the Lord's day, in church. I will express my thanks and receive from Him grace to live." We consider gratitude and keeping the Sabbath. The first thing that we look at this morning is ceasing and resting. The fourth commandment in God's Word comes with a call to us in Christ to cease, stop, and then with a call, rest. The fourth commandment is a pilgrim commandment. It looks at us as we're redeemed in Christ with the hope that is before us in Christ Jesus when Jesus returns of eternal life, and we're marching on. We march on for the past 6 days performing our earthly calling, and now today we come to an oasis where we may rest, fortify ourselves, where we can cease. Cease from what? Well, the commandment says, our labor. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor. That's part of the commandment. And do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath in which thou shalt do no manner of work. Adam was created to work in paradise, to be engaged in serving God. Work is not an evil. It has become a burden because of sin, but work is not an evil. It is a blessing. It will be part of heavenly life. Work will be given to us. We will have the fulfillment of work. We will have things to do. And now God has also given to each one of us as His children in Christ work. That's our calling to each one of us, children and adults and those who are retired. There's work to be done. We never come to the point where we don't have a place of work. From the one-year-old to the 80-year-old, we must work 6 days as unto the Lord. The Lord gave me my homework, the cleaning of a room, the care of a greenhouse, the work in finance in a bank, the driving of a truck, the changing of a diaper, the making of a meal. And that work in Christ Jesus is sanctified work. It means something. I'm serving the Lord. I'm in His kingdom. In the world, work is vanity. It's vanity because it doesn't have a purpose. It doesn't amount to anything. It is unfulfilling. The book of Ecclesiastes, we don't have time to go into all of that. For what are they laboring? And besides, says the Scripture, in the end, they leave it all behind them. And it cannot satisfy their soul. But you see, as a Christian, all of that is changed. That's all changed now in the Lord Jesus. We serve the Lord in our labor. Each nail that you pound, each washload that you have, each brick laid, each dented fender that you fix, each meeting that you attended, it all matters. Because it's for God. We're His servants. We're serving Him. We're reflecting Him. It's for His church. So that we have the wherewithal to pay the needs of the church so that the gospel can go forth. It's for our families. So that the needs of our families may be met and we may have homes where God is worshipped. It's for our Christian causes, our Christian schools. It's for the relief of the poor. But now on the Sabbath day, God comes and says concerning that work, cease. You may stop. Put that down. Thou shalt do no manner of work. Where you work, if you work for an employer, you understand that the employer, your boss, has the right to say to you, this week Friday, because of Thanksgiving, is off. You don't have to work. He has that authority. We have a master in heaven. And he says to us, be employed in my service, busily and actively in your calling for 6 days. But on the seventh, rest. Stop. So when you make your application at the restaurant, at the store, at the business, you say, I will not work on Sunday. Why? Because my master tells me to cease. Yes, Jesus teaches us that works of necessity, works of mercy, may be done on the Lord's Day. We don't violate the commandment by doing that. Jesus says to us in the passage we read, does not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his ass from the stall and lead him to watering? Cows need to be milked on Sunday. Hospitals, caring of the infirmed, and certain things that require in society necessity of maintaining 7 days, yes, those works may be done. But God says to us on this day, cease, stop, rest. Why does He say that? Does He say that just physically? Yes, He does. Because God created us, and God created the 7 day work week, the 6 day work week. God did that, and He did that in mercy because He knows that mentally and physically we need to rest. But more, the Lord did that spiritually. He did that to remind us that it is only by His grace that we live. To remind us that all the work of the 6 days accomplished nothing apart from His grace upon us. That all those days we're living out of Him. We need this day so that we focus as we're busy with the earthly calling. We readily forget the heavenly things. We need to be refocused on this day to take our eyes off from the earth and to point them upward to God. We need to be refreshed. 6 days of labor now with our sins, we become weary and discouraged. We need spiritual blessing. We need spiritual food. We need to stop and refresh ourselves in God. And so the fourth commandment says, cease to rest. The rest of the Sabbath that the Bible speaks of is not idleness. It's not inactivity. When we read, for in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested on the seventh day, it doesn't mean on the seventh day that God rested, did nothing. It doesn't mean, does it, children? Does that mean that God was tired? He had created for 6 days and now He was tired? It doesn't mean that, because God does not diminish and God does not increase in strength. He's God. But it means this, that God on that day stood back to enjoy and to rejoice in the work of His hands. He beheld all that He had made, and it was very good. It's like this. As long as the work needs to be done, your dad would say to you, our dads would say to us, don't sit. Don't sit when there's work to be done. You sit when the work is done. How many times didn't we hear that? Rest means the completion of a perfect work. That's what rest means. God rested on the Sabbath day because a work had been brought to a perfect completion. And now God rejoiced in a completed work. Which is the reason why the Sabbath is Sunday, not Saturday. Because on the first day of the week, in the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, God's work, not simply of creation, But God's work of redemption is proclaimed as perfected and completed. The work of our salvation is perfected and completed in Christ. And therefore, to rest today on the Sabbath day means we come apart, we cease from the earthly calling, and we enjoy today the completed work of our salvation in Jesus Christ. And so God says, I'm going to put a special blessing on the day. I'm going to hallow this day. I want you to put down your earthly labor as much as you are able. And I want you to devote yourself today to rejoice in the completed work of Jesus Christ. So therefore, Sunday is a day of pure spiritual pleasure. Spiritual pleasure. It's a day that may be filled with all the hallowed thoughts and all the hallowed activities of God and Christ and His great salvation. For many, the Sabbath is a burden. Prophet Amos, chapter 8, verse 6, frankly puts it this way. The people were saying, when will the day be over? Why is the Sabbath a burden? Well, it's a burden because by nature, you and I do not enjoy what God intends us to enjoy on the Sabbath, namely, Himself and His wonderful work. Our flesh prefers sports, television, recreation, and games, but not direct interaction with God. But now, renewed in Christ, having been given today the beginning of that new impulse, now in Jesus Christ by faith belonging to Him, Sunday morning comes and we awake and the new man in Christ in me says, O God, my God, early will I seek Thee. How lovely, Lord of hosts, to me the tabernacles of Thy grace. To God, my exceeding joy, will I go. On this day, and then again tonight, we say, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And thus all of our days are one. There's a connection between this day and all of the other six. The other six are living out of what we consecrate to our hearts today. What you consecrate to your heart today will be what you live out of till Saturday night. If it's to the flesh, then we will live to the flesh. If today, in this day, we meet God, and it is to the Spirit, we will live by His Spirit, says the Catechism, ruling in me the eternal Sabbath. So we don't come. I don't come to you this morning as your pastor with a list for Sunday of do's and don'ts. How long should be your nap? Love and gratitude to Jesus Christ answers your questions and mine. But love and gratitude to Jesus Christ has replaced all of those questions with this question. How can I best enjoy the rest of God's wonderful grace to me in Jesus Christ today? How can I fill the day with the things of my Savior? The day is not too long. And so you see, the next point must be the answer. How? Well, centrally, not exclusively, but centrally that means I'll use the means of grace. The means that God has given to me for this. The Catechism says that I, especially, not only, but especially on the Sabbath, that is the day of rest, diligently frequent the Church of God. Why? To hear His Word, to use the sacraments, publicly to call upon the name of the Lord, and contribute to the relief of the poor. Now, if we ask, what does that mean? Diligently frequent the Church of God. What does that mean? And why should we do that? Then we get to the heart of that by looking at the woman of Luke 13. And there you have an example of what it is to diligently frequent the house of God. We read of her in verse 10 of Luke 13 that as He was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, she did not know that Jesus was there on the Sabbath. Behold, there was a woman which had the spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bowed together and could in no wise straighten herself up. This woman for 18 years had something worse than curvature of the spine. But Luke tells us, he's a physician, Luke the physician would observe this, that she had the most unique case, that she was bowed double. More than 90% straight across, even further down, and in could no wise lift herself up. She was not able to look up to the sun on a summer day or the stars on a clear night. She could not look at people in the eyes. She couldn't straighten herself up. Imagine getting dressed. Imagine eating and doing all the household chores. Imagine walking. Put your head down to your knees. You get dizzy. Imagine, with the medical background that some of you have, imagine what that's going to do to the heart rate and all the rest when you walk with your head down that far. For 18 years. But the woman was not bitter with God. The woman was not complaining. She was not saying, why me? Why so long? That God had given her a strong faith. Why do I say that? I say that because she came to the synagogue on the Sabbath day to praise God. When you are bitter with God, we shy away from places where He's at. I know God's everywhere. Nevertheless, we don't want to encounter Him. So we stay away from church when we're bitter. This woman came. Imagine how hard it was for her to concentrate on the sermon. Older saints would have feeling for her, but she came. She came. If you want a case for a good reason not to diligently frequent God's house, she has a compelling case not to come. She could fear, what if I fall? Who's going to help me up? She could fear, people are going to laugh at me. They're going to take one look at me, and they're all going to be looking at me. I am a comical sight. And children, you can't keep them from staring. They're going to stare at me. And then she could reason, if I come, they're all going to think, they're all going to judge me. They're going to judge me that my ailment is the result of sin. Remember the first part of the chapter? Jesus was saying, you think that because that tower fell on those people that they were sinners, right? That's the way people were thinking in his day and our day. This must be a wicked woman for God to bend her over double. But she came. She came. Now I know that God can put before us circumstances that make it downright impossible for us to come to church. Small children, sick, children acting up, they're not ready yet to sit. There's reasons that we don't come to church. And the fourth commandment does not condemn that. But the question is, where is our heart? If we stay home or away, why? And in Christ Jesus, you are old enough now to answer that question. And there's no bluffing with God. What would this woman do? She came. In my imagination, I see her as an older woman, and perhaps her daughter from a village up north in Bethel has come down to her with her grandchildren for the day. And the daughter says to the grandchildren, well, Grandma goes to church this morning, so we'll go with her. And now they're back at home, and it's getting around 4:30. And she says, Mother, what are you doing? We've come here to help you in your infirmity. I'm getting ready to go to church. What? I took the kids all the way down here to see you today? And you're going to go to church? It's getting dark. Nobody's going to see you on the road. I'm going to church. I'd love to have you and the kids come with me. Why? Why? Because is the answer because, well, she's evidently got that old Dutch thing in her. Is that why? No, listen to Jesus. And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound these 18 years, be loosed from her infirmity on the Sabbath day? Why? She was a daughter of Abraham. Not of the flesh. Jesus isn't saying she's physically a Jew. Jesus is saying she has the same faith as Abraham. She's a sister in Jesus Christ. She's a regenerated woman. God has worked in her His good pleasure. And out of a faith in Jesus Christ, a faith that is seeking Jesus Christ, out of the work of Jesus Christ, she came. That's why she was there. When you think of the fourth commandment, think two. Two times we go to church. Don't think in the error of one. Don't think one if you don't feel like two. Don't toy with one. But think two. Two. worship services. If we, who have the blessing of two, I'm thinking of us, we have the blessing of two. If we begin to think one and skipping one, then two to one leads to zero. Don't think two to one, but think in the terms of the Catechism, two, especially on the Lord's Day, and now this Thursday, three. Three. This is important. This is important for our children, for the teenagers, for the young adults, for the grandchildren. Let this church, by love and principle, and let each one of us, out of faith, as living members of this body, let us leave a strong and consistent witness of two. And if you say to me, well, that's hyper-Christian life, I can't live up to that. No, you can. For what does our catechism say? Diligently frequent the church of God as becomes a Christian. As becomes a Christian, not as becomes an elite. This is basic. This is what we teach our little children. Our little children who can count to two. Our little children who understand two. And if need be, should I err, a little child or a grandchild who would say to you, Dad, why are we home tonight? Why are we going only once? So that out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, God may perfect praise. We come to use the means of grace. The Catechism says the means of grace are to hear His Word. That's first. And that does not surprise us. If Olivianus and Ursinus had left it blank, had left the words on the day of rest, we are to diligently frequent God's house to blank, then they were confident that we would have filled it in to hear God's Word. That's why. To hear God's Word, which is more than just to read God's Word. In other words, to hear the preaching of God's Word. And so that's why the Catechism begins the answer that it does. It's a little confusing at first. The Catechism says, first, that the ministry of the Gospel and the schools be maintained. It's out in front of itself. It's saying to us, well, we need to have a seminary where ministers are trained so that on the Lord's Day, we may hear God's Word preached through the ministry of a preacher. And hear, which is a very rich biblical idea, which does not mean simply listen. It does not simply mean analyze. To hear the Word of God is to hear with the new ear of the heart implanted within us. It's to embrace. It is to believe. It is to obey. It is to cherish that Word of God. We come to church to hear in our hearts the living Word of God. To use the sacraments that follows. Publicly to call on the name of the Lord. Prayer. To contribute to the relief of the poor. Those are other reasons. We use the sacraments whereby the Word of God is sealed to us and to our children. We come for congregational prayer, which, by the way, is one reason for being a member in the body of Christ, that we may come together as one body to pray, to bring to God today. This is the time of the week we pray in our homes, we pray with our spouse, we pray in our meetings, we pray with our extended families, but now today, with the body of Christ. This is the only time that the body of Christ prays. That's why I diligently frequent the house of God, so that the body of Christ publicly may pray to God, contribute to the relief of the poor. And we might have thrown in, if we were there when Olivianus and Ursinus were writing this answer, we might have nudged them and say, and add one more, singing, singing. We gather in God's house to sing, to join voices and hearts. We gather to use the means of grace. And when that happens, something happens. The mighty power of Jesus. And when Jesus saw her, He called her to Him and said unto her, Woman, thou art loosed from thy infirmity. And He laid His hands on her, and immediately she was made straight, and she glorified God. On the Sabbath day, God looses us from our infirmities. We're bent double. We can only look down. We can't look up. We become so, after 6 days, so wound up with the things of this life that we look down. All the cares and all the worries bend us over double, and we in no wise can be straightened. And on this day, the hand of Jesus straightens us up. And gives us to look into His eyes. Shows us again the things that are true and excellent. Gives us the answer to all of our burdens. Looses us from being tied to a vanishing world. Releases us from the sorrows and anxieties of this life. Where else are we going to go for that? Where is the power to loose a soul from this life and set it free to live with Christ? That power is with Jesus on the Sabbath day. And so we begin the eternal Sabbath. We look forward to the time when there will be no more weeks and no more days, no more sun and no more moon, when we will be with Christ in the eternal Sabbath. But we begin today that eternal life. For we have found rest to our souls in Jesus. We have come to worship Him. Our eyes are readjusted. Our heart and all of its issues are straightened out. The meaning of life is again plain. Strength is imparted into my soul. So I'm ready for the next 6 days. How is your spiritual life? What is your attitude toward the Sabbath? And how do you keep it? May God give grace till Jesus comes, that we set this day aside for His glory and for our good. Amen. Lord, we thank Thee for Thy Word. May we hear it. May we truly hear it. And since only the Holy Spirit can do that, we ask that the Holy Spirit may give to us sinners rest in Jesus today. Amen.